This week on the Breakup Breakdown.
She goes, he's on a flight right now, right? And I was like, yeah, he's coming back today. And she says, why don't we just go move all your stuff out right now? I nodded and I said, okay. And she literally took my hand and drove my car to our house. And we moved every bit of my stuff out in 2.5 hours. I went back to work and I thought, oh my God, that's it. Like, we're done. We're good. I was served papers from a police officer at work that I was being sued.
She thought she'd never see her ex again after leaving him completely unannounced until a court case over something from their relationship brought them side by side in front of a judge. Welcome to season 7, episode 8 of The Breakup Breakdown. I'm your host and lead relationship PI, Abby Murphy. And this week we've got a breakup where someone says their ex sued them after their relationship ended. And this podcast wouldn't be possible without the lovely submissions I get from listeners just like you. And if you think you've got a story tip for me, head down to the episode description where you'll find the submission form. I take submissions from literally everywhere, whether it's your breakup story, your friend's breakup story, something you saw on TikTok talking about their breakup and you want more details. Sometimes I do a little investigative work. And if you think someone's soft launching their breakup and you want me to ask if they're going through a breakup and if they want to talk about it, I can definitely do that too. Wherever we get the story from, doesn't matter. We just love hearing what happened, but also getting some good lessons along the way. And as always, if you want to jump to a certain part of the interview, timestamps are located in the episode description. Hey, Heartbreakers. Welcome back to another episode of The Breakup Breakdown. This week, we've got an episode from someone who says their ex decided to take them to court when they up and left their relationship totally unannounced. But before we get into that, every week we give a shout out to a different domestic violence shelter just to raise more awareness. And this week we're shouting out Care Lodge in Meridian, Mississippi. For over 40 years, they provided essential services and emergency shelter to victims of domestic violence in East Central Mississippi. So for more details on how you can help out, if you feel so inclined, head down to the episode description. Okay, so this week I have a self-submission from somebody who said that she nearly died from sudden cardiac arrest due to the stress of this relationship, which I was like, oh my God, what could have taken place during this 5-year relationship that they said? So again, it's a 5-year relationship that this person that submitted said she ended up leaving out of nowhere when she was done. On top of that, she suffered from cardiac arrest twice. And then she said when she just didn't think it could get worse, he showed up at her doorstep with documents saying he was ready to take her to court. And I was like, well, that's one hell of a tease. So a long-term relationship that's beyond stressful, that continues to get stressful even when you get up and leave and you think everything's going to get better. What's the story here? Let's find out when we break down this week's breakup.
I met him on Tinder. He was tall and had a beard and he had a good job. He owned his own home. And, you know, I'm living with my dad and just thought, this is it. Like, this is the person, the white picket fence, the American dream. Like, this is the person I'm supposed to be with. He was charming and educated and he had great grammar and spelling. And he went to the gym a lot. And I was really into going to the gym at the time too. We just kind of clicked a lot on that. When I first met him, we dated for about 4 months until I was hiking one day and I found a dog. And he'd always talked about how he wanted a dog. And I thought, you know, I would like a dog too at your house because I have dogs at my house and I think it'll make it feel more like home if we have a dog. But it was just hypothetical thinking. But one day I was out hiking and I was with 2 kids that I was babysitting and a dog ran up to us and she was with another group of people. And I said, oh my gosh, what a cute dog. How old is she? Where did you get her? And they said, well, she's not with us. She's just been following us. And I was like, the dog doesn't have a collar. The dog is just roaming around free. Maybe you should grab her because she's out here on a summer day and it's hot out and she's gonna get too hot and have to, you know, she needs to be saved. She followed me and the boys back to the car. And for 25 minutes, we tried to get her in the car and we gave her granola bars and apples and all this stuff, trying to coax her into the car. And she wouldn't get into the car. She just thought it was a game. She was playing with us, whatever. I finally was like, it is the middle of summer and I can't keep chasing this dog around with 2 little kids. So I told the kids, we're done chasing her. Get in the car, let's go home. And I got the kids in the car and they said, can we please go look for her again, please? And I said, we will drive around the neighborhood one time. And if we see her, then great. So we drove into the neighborhood that she ran off into And there she was, just trotting across the street. She laid down under a bush because it was hot out. It's like July. And I just walked up to her. I scooped her up and put her in the car. And I texted my ex and I said, I found you a dog. Just kidding, mostly, because I didn't know who this dog belonged to. My intention was to bring the dog home, you know, and try to like find her owners. So anyway, I had her for 10 days. At this point, my ex was in, he was in a different state. He was visiting family. So he wasn't involved in any of this. But basically, I looked for her owners. Her owners never came forward. They never came to get her. And the rest is kind of history. My ex-boyfriend was excited because we had had the dog together for 10 days. Well, I had had the dog for 10 days and was showing him pictures. And she had met him once. He came home in that time period and met her a couple of times. And she was just so cute. She's the best. And so he was excited. So we had her together for 4 years. At this point, we were living together. I was living in his house with him. And my dog was there with us. And she had a great backyard. Everything was great. That was about 6 months into our relationship. You know, things were looking good. Maybe like the first time I saw a red flag was, this was maybe like a month into dating. When I first started dating him, I thought, I'm not going to creep on his Facebook or his Instagram or anything. When you're getting to know somebody one-on-one on a first date or something, they'll say, oh yeah, I went to Hawaii last month. And you're just sitting there like, yeah, I know. I looked at your Instagram and I saw everything you did. So I really made it a point to not look at his social media before we got together and got to know each other a little bit more. About a month in, I did look at his Facebook and it said that he was in a relationship. And I thought, okay, that's weird. But sometimes men are strange like that. You know, they don't edit their social media. They could have broken up months ago and he wouldn't have changed it. So I was like, well, he hasn't said anything to me. And we've talked a lot. I've been to his house. We hang out like, you know, two or three times a week, but he just never mentioned anything. So I just thought it was nothing. Then one day when we were together, we were like making out and it was getting pretty hot. And he stopped me and he said, you know, I have a girlfriend. And
shut up.
I know.
A month into it, this thing?
A month into it, yeah.
Oh my God.
After that, then I stopped and I left and I told him that I wasn't comfortable doing that. You know, he texted me and said that he was planning on breaking up with her, but she lived in his home state and he wanted to do it in person. To me, that sounded like he was into me and that he wanted to keep going and that he was still interested in me. So I gave him another chance and we kept talking and seeing each other and things escalated more. It wasn't until we had been dating for like four dating, quote unquote, for about 4 months that he finally broke up with her. He never asked me to like officially be his girlfriend or anything. But to me, in my head, and this is my own story probably, is that I wanted to win. I wanted to be that girl, the girl that won in that situation, which I have come to see now is like really breaking girl code. I don't love that I did that.
Well, it's so. Also like, what's the prize that you're winning? A guy who's going to cheat on you? You know what I mean?
Right. If he did it to her, he's going to do it to me. Well, he did it to me like a million times. There was one time that I was in school and I was living with him and we had my dog and everything. He had just gotten home from a bachelor party. His Apple Watch was sitting on the counter as I was doing homework. And I looked at it and I was like, I have got to look at that thing. Like, I need to know what's on there. And I've never done that before. I've never looked through a guy's phone, but something in me just felt like I really needed to look. So I look and there's this girl, this text from a girl that says, or that he had responded to, and he said, I should have kissed you. And I confronted him about it. He came downstairs and I said, hey, who is this? What do you mean you should have kissed her? And he broke down in tears, totally playing the victim, said that he was depressed and that, you know, I'm so busy with school that I'm never there for him. And so he has to like go and find other people that can give him attention and this and that. And I had no idea that he was doing anything like that or that our relationship was that bad. I mean, he was not nice to me oftentimes.
How did infidelity contribute to your breakup?
Finding out that he was cheating on me over and over again, it was something that I didn't tell my friends about, which I think is a huge thing. Because I think if I told my friends about it, they would have stepped in and been like, you need to not see this guy anymore. Why are you still with him? And I didn't want that from my friends. I wanted my friends to be on board with him. So I think The main thing that really started eating at me was that my friends didn't like him. My friends started not liking him. My family didn't like him, except for my mom. That's a whole other thing, my mom. But it was just awkward to bring him to like friend gatherings and family gatherings. He didn't play well with them, you know? And you could tell. It was like he talked down to me in front of my friends and family. He wouldn't say I was like dumb, but he would laugh at things I said and be like, that's stupid. You know, he just was not nice in front of my friends and family.
When all this is going down, like, what's your thought process in terms of like him potentially stepping out on you? Are you staying with him because you just love him that much, or you just didn't want to go out and find another dude? Like, what was keeping you in this relationship?
I think it was mostly that I had this idea in my head that this was going to be it. I had just gotten into this program that I wanted to be in. We had a dog together. He had a house. He lives in the city I want to live in. It just seemed so perfect. I was willing to do anything to make it work, including just continue to be verbally abused and emotionally abused a bunch.
Yeah, I mean, it's very easy to get caught up in the story and the idea of it all. Like, if it fits a certain narrative or like thing that you want for your life, it's just like, well, if his behavior would change, then things would be perfect. But the problem is his behavior is very much like not going to change. When you have conflicting feelings for a person, I can understand how it would be very, very difficult to be like, let me just break up with this dude. How do we get to that point? So he's stepping out of this relationship, but you're sticking with it. How do we get to you guys actually breaking up?
So it's probably about 2.5 years in to our 4.5 year relationship that I started thinking, how am I going to leave? You know, like, what am I going to do? I kind of started having more serious conversations with him that didn't end up going anywhere because he was never open to having a conversation. He just couldn't be wrong. I asked him if he would go to therapy. He said he didn't need therapy. I needed therapy. So I went to therapy and he didn't. We went to couples therapy once and that was a dud. That it was a bad therapist, maybe. I don't know. It was online. It wasn't great. The thing that really made me finally do it was talking to my friends. Every time I would talk to my friends, they would say, hey, how's it going with your boyfriend? You know, like, how are things? And every single time I would have the same thing to say. Things are terrible. I'm sad. He seems sad, but I don't want to leave because I'm scared that he's going to take my dog. I don't know what to do with the dog. That was my main thing that was keeping me in the last year, is that I thought, you know, if we split up, I can't take the dog from him. He loves her. It's her home. His home is her home. I feel bad taking her away from him was really the main thing there. But all of my friends would say, you know, she is your dog. She's your dog. You found her. You were the one who adopted her. You paid for her. She's your dog. You can just take her. And I just felt like I couldn't. I felt like I would really, really hurt him doing that because I loved her so much. So there was one day, a couple of weeks before we broke up, I had a really serious conversation with him. And I said, we had been fighting. And I said, what are you afraid of? I was going to say that I am afraid of breaking up and I'm really scared that I won't see my dog. And I said, what are you afraid of? And he goes, spiders.
What the fuck?
I was like, I am really trying to get to somewhere with you. And I just want to know how we can fix this. It's like he was so like dense and like insecure. And he like couldn't even talk about that our relationship was bad. You know, he didn't want to acknowledge it. He didn't want to acknowledge anything he was doing was wrong. And he said, fucking spiders? Are you kidding me? I said, I'm scared of losing the animal that I love so dearly. And you said, fucking spiders? You psychopath. God. So anyway, he was at a bachelor party in a different state. I had to drive one of my friends to the airport. He was coming back later that day. I went to go see my friends who used to be our roommates. I got to her house and she asks me how things are going with him. And I said, you know what? I'm really sick of talking about it and nothing has changed. And I'm just, it's the same story again. And I was upset that time because we had just had the conversation about the spider. She goes, he's on a flight right now, right? And I was like, yeah, he's coming back today. And she says, why don't we just go move all your stuff out right now? And I, in the quietest voice I have, I nodded and I said, okay. And she literally took my hand and drove my car to our house, me and her husband and their two friends who were here visiting for fun. came to his house, and we moved every bit of my stuff out in 2.5 hours. I unplugged the cameras that were in the house so that he couldn't see us moving stuff around. There was a Ring doorbell that I couldn't cover up. So he did see that, but I think he was on the plane and, you know, I don't know that he had service to look at that. So I don't think he saw that. But I had, I called another friend. She brought her truck. I mean, I just called in all of these people, all of these friends that I had been talking to, my whole relationship about how horrible it was. I called them and they were there at the drop of a hat. They were just like, we'll be there and we'll come get her. So I took my dog and all of my stuff, and we were out in 2.5 hours, and I moved back in with my dad.
Wow. Well, first of all, that's really brave. I mean, to just like pack up out of nowhere on a moment's notice. I can only imagine the anxiety you had once you got home, knowing that at some point he was going to walk in and see that all your stuff had gone.
Definitely. And he did.
How did he
He saw it on the camera and he texted me. I think he texted me close to 35 times, called me endlessly. He called my mom. He called my friends. I didn't respond. I didn't acknowledge them for at least 24 hours. And my mom actually ended up calling me that night and said, you know, he's really upset. Did you really have to leave like that? You just took everything. He didn't even know. You totally blindsided him. And I'm like, okay, first of all, mom, way to have my back. Way to have my back. And also, like, no. And did not blindside him. I tried to have conversations with him where, you know, we actually talked about what we could do. And it just never happened.
You've broken up. You have done the brave thing. You've gotten out. He's freaking out. He's texting you. Mm-hmm. What is the aftermath of actually leaving this man look like?
About maybe the second day after I left him, I had responded to his text telling him that I would, you know, communicate with him only if he was respectful to me and not demeaning. And he said, fine, we can do that. Please just let me see the dog. I just want to see the dog. I understand why you left. I just need to see the dog. I told him if he can show me that he signed up to see a therapist, that I would allow him to see the dog again, which he did. And I figured that my dog was going to be happier at his house than at my house with my dad, who is old and doesn't know how to leave the door open so the dog can go outside. So I agreed to let him have her while I was in Costa Rica to kind of say goodbye. And I still thought that maybe like me leaving would help change him. It didn't, obviously. Anyway, so he watched the dog while I was in Costa Rica, and that turned into us sharing the dog every other week for about a year. A year of back and forth sharing her. And it kind of worked out sometimes. I had a trip to go down south with a couple of my friends who had just moved to a new city. We were going to go see this festival. I drove down there on a Friday. We went to the balloon festival the next morning at like 5 a.m. We get home around like 9, and it was about 4 o'clock on a Saturday. And in the middle of doing that, I said, I feel really dizzy. And I passed out. I was FaceTiming with another friend at the time. So my friend on the phone, and my friend is screaming my name, slapping me in the face, trying to figure out what's going on. I'm unresponsive. I'm turning purple. My eyes have rolled back in my head. And my friend on the phone is screaming at my other friend, you need to check her pulse. If she doesn't have a pulse, you need to start CPR. So my friend drags me onto the ground in her kitchen. Her boyfriend is home. He comes in and sees that there's obviously something wrong, calls 911 and starts CPR. So they did CPR on me in their kitchen for 10 minutes until the ambulance got there. The EMTs shocked me with an AED, and my heart started again. My heart was in V-fib. It was about 400 beats per minute. But V-fib is pretty much the rhythm before flatlining, before you're dead. So for some reason, my heart just stopped. And the EMS, they shocked me. The defibrillator, put the pads on, shocked me. My heart started again, and then I was intubated and unconscious for the next 18 hours. I was there for 6 days, and in those 6 days, they couldn't figure out what had happened, just that there was a faulty electrical signal from one node to the next, so my heart stopped beating. Sometimes that can happen it happens for a lot of reasons. There's no genetic condition, nothing like that. I was there for 6 days. And they put a defibrillator in, so I have an internal cardiac defibrillator now, and I went home. And I got home, and my ex had texted my brother and said, you know, hey, I just wanted to bring the dog by because she needs her right now. And I was like, yes, thank you. I do need her. I'm like on the couch trying to figure out what the hell just happened to me. And my ex texts me, hey, when should we switch the dog this week? And I'm like, I'm not doing that again. I am done giving you my dog every week. You're stressing me out. I was like, no. I'm not gonna. So I emailed him and said, hey, I understand that this is really hard, but I'm done sharing the dog. If you want, I'll meet you at a dog park and you can say goodbye. But we're not sharing her anymore. My doctor said that I need to like minimize the stress in my life, and this is super stressful for me. He responded and said in the email and said he doesn't understand why it's stressful for me when I'm not even the one home when he comes to get her, but that I owe him a lot of money for things that he's purchased for her over the last 4 years while I was deceiving him into thinking that she was his dog. And so I owe him $3,500 and a week with the dog to say goodbye. And me being half dead on my couch was like, absolutely not. I just paid for so much in hospital bills. I don't even know what $3,500 is for. No. So I just didn't respond. So about 2 months later, he had not said anything. No text, no phone call, no email, nothing. I blocked him on all social media and saw that he on Venmo, I saw on Venmo that he had gotten, that he changed his picture, his profile picture, to a picture of him and a dog that looked a lot like my dog. And I thought, oh my God, that's it. Like, we're done. He got a new dog. He's got a girlfriend. We're good. So I just kind of, I was like so happy. That was 2 months after the cardiac arrest. Then about a month and a half after that, I had cardiac arrest again. I passed out in my shower and I was out for about 7 seconds. My defibrillator shocked me and I had to go to the hospital. I was in the hospital again for 3 days. And they, again, didn't know why it happened. My magnesium was like a tiny bit low, but all the doctors agreed that your magnesium being slightly low is not something that should kill you. They told me I couldn't drive anymore for the next 6 months. That was really hard. After the first time, I had no restrictions. So I felt like I'd gotten my dog back. I lived through this traumatic near-death experience and everything was fine. And now here we are being stressed again about like maybe dying again. I went back to work, and about a week and a half later, I was served papers from a police officer at work that I was being sued for my dog. The police officer that delivered the papers was laughing. He says, I've never seen one of these for a dog before. And I was like, yeah, I know. On the summons, it says that he's suing me for $7,500 and the dog, the ownership of the dog, which is not what he wrote in that email. He had said he wanted $3,500 and the dog for a week to say goodbye. And so $7,500 and the dog back, which is ridiculous. We were in a relationship for 4.5 years. We split costs with the dog. We both enjoyed the dog, you know? It's not like he was paying for her to keep her. He was paying to enjoy her. And she's my dog. I adopted her. His name is not on anything. So anyway, we went to mediation. In mediation, you're supposed to come to agreement outside of court so you don't have to go and waste everybody's time. $7,500 is what he wanted. I offered him $200 for a dog class that we had taken together. And I just thought, you know, like I can't, if I offer him nothing, then we're definitely going to go to court. Like, here's my reasoning why I'm giving you $200. And that's all you deserve, you know? So he said, he came back and said, absolutely not. The lowest I'll go is $6,500. Then the mediator... The mediator came back and said, you know, it looks like you're probably going to go to court because he won't come down and we just can't come to an agreement. And the mediator said, you're probably going to spend about $2,500 on a lawyer if you have to go to court for this. And she's like, you might as well just offer him $2,500 and see what he says. So I did, which sucks because apparently you can just like come up with some dumb reason to take somebody to court and then end up with $2,500 if they don't want to go to court with you. It's stupid. But I did offer him $2,500 and he turned it down. So 6 months later, about 3 months later, we went to court. Full on court for a dog that's not his. The court date was actually one of the best days of my life. It was the day that I could drive again. So I drove myself to the courthouse, which was really cool just in that. that I was finally like on this journey back to like being normal. I had 12 of my friends in court with me that day. My dad was there. Our two old roommates were there on my side. My brother, my friend's mom was there. I did end up getting a lawyer. A friend of mine actually paid for the lawyer for me, which was super nice. He had his girlfriend. The court hearing was about 40, was an hour long. The judge gave us each 20 minutes to talk. So my ex got to go first. He spoke for about 25 minutes. And the things that he brought with him to court, the exhibits, were text messages, a picture of him and his family along with his with the dog, versus a picture of me and my brothers and our other dog. He actually said to the judge, as you can see, there's a picture of the dog and me and my family together. And then there's her family with their other dog. And the dog in question was at the bottom of the picture. And she was kind of walking out of the frame. And he said to the judge, and you can see that she's walking out of the frame as if she's not supposed to be in the picture. Like, that's your evidence for court? He also had 80 pages of credit card statements that the judge literally like flipped through and was like, yeah, no, I'm not going through that. So he spoke for 25 minutes. I spoke for 6 minutes. I was very concise. I said, here's when I found my dog. Here's my adoption paperwork. Here's the microchip information. Here's the vet bills. This is my relationship with him and how we had the dog together. And then I left because I didn't feel safe in his home anymore. And I took the dog with me because she's mine. The end. And the judge went back to determine what happened, came back and said, you know, there's just not enough. He was speaking mostly to my ex and said, you know, there's not enough evidence here to prove that the dog is yours. He actually asked my ex, the judge asked my ex, if he had filed a police report. And my ex said, well, no, I went to the police office or the police station and told them that my ex-girlfriend had stolen my dog from me. And they asked if I had her microchip information. And I said, no. And they said, okay, well, there's not anything we can do about that then. So right then he had his answer on whether the dog was his or not. But he had to just go through this whole year-long process of going through the court system to see that, to have a judge tell him that he was wrong. It was wild. But anyway, the judge ruled in my favor. He said I didn't owe him anything because in a relationship like that, you split costs. And at the end of the day, you don't get the things that you spent back. That's just how it works. So I don't owe him any money. And the ownership of the dog is clearly mine. The judge also said at the end, he goes, if we could let the plaintiff leave first, he seems to have taken quite a blow today. And so I had 12 people in the room with me and he had one, and it was like this TV show. It just, everybody was crying. Everybody was hugging each other. It was just, I felt like, oh my God, this is it. We're finally done doing this after a year and a half of madness. Not even a year and a half. It was like 2 years since we had broken up.
Then you never heard from him again. Did he have to pay for your legal fees or anything?
So he didn't have to pay for the legal fees, but my friend paid for it for me. So I still feel like I got out nothing and great friends, you know? It just feels like at the end of the day, like these friends that I had that I didn't want to tell about my horrible relationship were the ones to like back me up and like be right there with me at the end.
What's that saying that people say? Maybe the true love in the story is the friends we made along the way.
Totally. I just feel like overwhelmed with how great of friends I have. But
I love that for you. I mean, love isn't just romantic love. And to have 12 people sit with you at your court date while you're going through the most annoying fucking mediation of your life for your dog that you own, it's got to be the greatest feeling. And losing some dead weight's got to feel really good too. In hindsight, reflecting, every poor situation, you're going to be able to bring something with you that helps you in the future. So what have you taken from this relationship that has helped you, whether it's in your own life or just in your future romantic relationships?
I feel like really staying true to myself, like what I want in life, and just remembering like who I am. And that at the end of the day, all we have is, you know, ourselves. You know, like we kind of die alone at the end of it all. You should be happy with yourself. And I look back on it and I think how unhappy I was with myself, my decisions that I made staying with him. And now I feel so much better knowing that I can do so many hard things, especially with like all of these friends that I have around me. My body's super strong. I mean, 4% of people survive cardiac arrest with bystander CPR. 4% with no brain damage. I mean, my friends are fucking cool.
And you're defying the odds.
Yeah, just that you can do hard things. I feel like I was in this emotionally abusive relationship. I didn't really know it at the time, but looking back on it, I see how hard it is to leave something like that. You want to help them, you want to fix them, you want to show them that like you can be different. This can be so different, but it's stressful. It is stressful, and sometimes it's not worth the stress.
What do you think would have helped you do the hard thing by leaving him sooner than you did?
Probably being open and honest with my friends, telling them what was actually happening, trusting them, trusting that I make good decisions and have good people around me most of the time. These people can like help me make decisions in life and not just not to hide anything from them. Why would I hide things from them? I can't believe I did that. And they could have helped me way sooner.
Did
So,
they feel disappointed in the end that like you didn't feel like you could come to them?
no, they had always said, one of my friends, she always said, you know, I'll support you in whatever you do. And she never said, but she was always like, I'll support you. Whatever you decide, I'll support you. And then she would tell me what she sees. I see that he doesn't treat you very well. Are you okay with that? You know, she would really ask me questions about it and how I felt about it. And I was lying to her. I would just lie to her and be like, oh, everything is fine. But she was like, well, okay, then I'll support you. It's just don't lie like that. Don't lie to yourself.
What would you say to other people that are in these relationships that they know they should leave, but they just can't bring themselves to do it for whatever reason? Like, if you could sit down with that person, what would you, holding their hand, looking in their eyes, what would you tell them?
Make a list of all the things that you want to grab so that when the day comes, you're ready. When the day comes that you feel like you're ready, I don't feel like anybody else is going to be able to tell you when it's time. You're going to have to be the one to decide when it's time. Just if you feel like you know that the time is coming, start preparing. Then when you're ready, you'll be prepared physically. When you're ready emotionally and mentally, you'll be prepared physically.
Love that. Any final words of wisdom that you would impart on the audience just about your situation that you think people should know after hearing it?
Learn CPR. You can save anybody.
On Thursday, per usual, there will be another breakdown bonus episode where the personality hires, aka my coworkers, will be joining me to break down this week's episode and to talk about the importance of keeping your friends when you're in a relationship. It's going to be really wholesome. I'll see you whenever you decide to tune in next.